Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
All right, glad you're with us as we come to you again from Las Vegas. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Apologies in advance if I squeak and whatever happens in the course of the show. We had an amazing night last night, and so many people deserve the credit. We came out here to be a part of Vegas Strong, a concert to help heal and raise money for the people in Vegas. You know, there are a ton of people that have hospital bills, they have deductibles, the cost, some had no insurance. I think $12 million already has been raised. John Rich texted me earlier today, and he'll be on the program also. And I just, when you meet so many people that are heroes in events like this, tragedies like this, they just inspire you. And I met a guy last night. I think we're going to try and get him on the program. I don't know. Did we, were we able to get him? I met the guy. Do you have, Jason, the guy that's in the dispatch breach audio? The first guy in the room where the Vegas shooter was, I met him. I'm going to play that in a second. I met the cops. I met the doctors. I met the nurses. I met the paramedics. I met the people that saved so many other people's lives. There were a number of women last night that came up to me and said, my husband protected me and our family. My husband saved at least 10 people's lives. My husband did this. I did this. And how it has impacted people's lives it's just amazing. And it all reminded me of 9/11. You know, the worst of circumstances, all of these people shot, all of these people, a lot of people dead, so many people injured, everybody, all hands on deck. And in the worst moments, you actually see goodness and greatness in humanity. And the fact that all these people from Beasley Media and our affiliate KDON Radio and every station of this group of radio stations we have here, and Rascal Flatts and Big and Rich and Ron White, the comedian, was there, who's a trip and apparently is Linda's big crush, we found out. There's a big story behind that. And just to have a night and to do something worthwhile, it was amazing. And just before the show started, somehow the president found out about it, and he tweets out to me and Big and Rich, Vegas Strong. And I got to share that with the crowd. I got a little rowdy out there in my speech. I actually quoted Mike Moran, who was the fireman. Remember when after 9/11 in Madison Square Garden, and, you know, at that point in time, he said, you know, you can kiss my Royal Irish ass. And I quoted him. I just talked about the Vegas shooter being in hell where he belongs after trying to ruin so many lives. We have on our website, Hannity.com, I literally, when they sang God Bless America, remember that was sung an hour before the shooting took place. And just stop for a second. Your kids are one of 30,000 people, almost 30,000 people in that outdoor concert on the 1st of October. And maybe your child died that day. And you know an hour before they died, this is what they were, the moment they were feeling. It just is beyond moving. So when they sang it last night, I literally stood up in front of the stage. I commandeered it, and I just took my video camera out. And I'm not great, technologically speaking, And I think the video came out incredible. And we posted it on Hannity.com. Now, for those of you around the country that, you know, obviously couldn't make it to Vegas for the show last night, we have some good news, and that is that Fox taped the whole thing. We're going to take all the highlights. We're going to put it together, and that's going to be my TV show tonight. And I hope you'll watch it, and I hope you'll be as inspired as all of us in the Orleans Arena were. Great people that worked there, too, that they donated their time. They donated their arena. All these people that stepped up. I mean, let me tell you, it's like next to impossible to pull something like this off. We also have Thomas Gunderson's going to be on. He's the guy that stood for the president, although I suspect he really was standing for Melania Trump, the first lady, but I'll ask him. He's a great guy. He's got a great family. He's going to check in today. We're going to preview 1 week from today. We debut my movie, Let There Be Light. Dionne Warwick, who did the movie for the soundtrack, is going to join us. Michael Francis, this is a real life former mob guy who converted while he was in jail. His own father had put a hit out on him as, you know, a former underboss for the Colombo crime family, and he turned his life around. He's in the movie. Kevin Sorbo, who stars in the movie, and we're going to talk about that later in the program today. So we've got a lot coming up. I want to start with something really important. And I don't think I've ever seen a time where there has been such overt, blatant corruption and hatred of, this is not the complete one, by the way, the B block, yeah, of a president than we saw last night and we've seen in recent days. And I'm going to tell you something, it is one of the most nauseating things I think I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, to watch people trying to exploit a tragedy the way we have been witnessing now, and to have the person that's leading the effort, a known Trump hater. There's hardly anything that Congresswoman Frederica Wilson has not said about President Trump. And she has wanted forever to impeach him, to call him a racist, to call whatever she wants to call him. And unfortunately and sadly, we have a corrupt and complicit media. And all the media is interested in is basically doing the bidding of the Democratic Party. That's all they care about. Now, when General Kelly came out last night, and that's why we ran it in full on the program yesterday, I don't think anybody could knock down, incinerate a narrative the way that General Kelly did yesterday. So I'm not going to delve much deeper into it. Although, if you watch cable news, it doesn't matter. There's nothing that this president is ever going to say or do that's going to convince the conspiracy theorists at NBC, ABC, CBS, fake news, CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, or any of these papers that there's any level of decency. In all my life and career, you know, all these people that have wanted to interview me over the years, I'm like, why bother? Why should I interview with you? You don't want to know what it means to be a conservative. You don't want to know what we're all about. Now, we do have some good news, and that is we have another congressional committee. We have been on this Uranium-1 corruption and all that we've learned this week, and now we have another congressional committee that is looking into the Clinton nuclear bribery scandal. The evidence that we're discovering is so overwhelming. In terms of, in 2009, bribery, kickbacks, extortion, money laundering. We learned last night Bill Clinton, when he got twice his normal speaking fee in Moscow, $500,000, his largest speaking fee ever. Oh, he wanted to meet with all the people. His wife is the Secretary of State. He wanted to meet with all the people that wanted the nuclear deal. And instead, he got to meet with Vladimir Putin. But of course, the Clintons say, oh, nothing happened. We didn't discuss such things. Like Loretta Lynch on the tarmac, you know, just days before her decision. Everything surrounding these people stinks to high heaven and corruption. This is the biggest national security scandal I can think of in my lifetime. Everything the left has been talking about in terms of the dangers of Vladimir Putin and Russia come into play here. And the Clintons and the Obama administration created what is a massive national security crisis and, frankly, a world security crisis by the by handing Vladimir Putin and the Russians a 20% stake in America's uranium market. And then after you look at the bribery and the kickbacks and the extortion and the money laundering, you begin to realize that was Vladimir Putin's goal. You know, John Solomon, Sarah Carter, they're the investigator reporters. They broke this wide open. You know, while Bill Clinton was getting ready to collect $500,000 for a speech, he was also seeking State Department clearance so he could meet with a key official from the Russian nuclear energy company that was involved in the Uranium One deal. He gives a speech and he's advocating for the deal that his wife has to sign off on, which she did. He's being paid double the amount of money. And we don't even begin to get into the $145 million eventually kicked back by people involved in the deal to the Clinton Foundation. You know, Sarah Carter yesterday, you have a U.S. consulting firm. They had ties to the Clintons. They lobbied on behalf of Russia's nuclear giant. So what we have here is an American lobbying firm taking millions of dollars from a Russian state-run nuclear energy corporation, while at the same time providing pro bono services to the Clinton Global Initiative. You don't think that's a conflict of interest? And it's not all. These payments took place in 2010, 2011. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Hillary Clinton signed off on the Uranium One deal. Bill Clinton's speech was before the Uranium One deal. You know, the president yesterday finally weighed in heavily on all of this and talked about how this is the real collusion story, the real corruption story about Russia, and how fake the news industry is in this country. Here's what he said.
Uranium is a big subject. If the mainstream media would cover the uranium scandal and that Russia has 20% of a uranium for whatever reason, and a lot of people understand what those reasons may be, I think that's your Russia story. That's your real Russia story. Not a story where they talk about collusion and there was none. It was a hoax. Your real Russia story is uranium and how they got all of that uranium, a vast percentage of what we have. That is, to me, one of the big stories of the decade, not just now, of the decade. The problem is that the mainstream media does not want to cover that story because that affects people that they protect. So they don't like covering that story. But the big story is uranium and how Russia got 20% of our uranium. And it, frankly, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And it's a disgrace that the fake news won't cover it. It's so sad.
It is a disgrace. And let me just be straightforward as I can possibly be. The news media in this country, they just outright lie to you on a regular basis, nonstop almost. A year of conspiracy theories, a year of lies without any evidence, a years of misleading headlines, a year of false reports that they end up rescinding. You know, all the evidence of corruption and criminal conduct in one of the biggest American scandals in history involving national security is right in front of the face of every media person. And it involves their favorite country, Russia, 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 and their favorite world leader, Putin, Putin, Putin. And they do nothing. They do nothing. That makes them complicit. And that puts this country in danger. Are you listening, Fake Jake, and the rest of you over at Fake News? All the media cares about is destroying Donald Trump. That's their only obsession. I don't even think they're in touch with their pathological hatred of the president at this point and how agenda driven they are at this point. They know not what they do at this point. Anyway, we got a great show today. We'll get back into this. I have a lot of details I want to share with you. It gets complicated, but I'm going to break it down as simply as I can. That explains all the lies, all the corruption, all the bribery, all the kickbacks, all the money laundering that you need to know about. Now, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we got a great show today. We're going to preview 1 week from today the debut of my movie, Let There Be Light. The stars of that movie and Dionne Warwick, who does the music track for the movie, will join us. Also, John Rich joins us. Thomas Gunderson, remember, he stood for the president. He'll join us, and we'll have more on the biggest corruption scandal, national security scandal in history. Straight ahead.
Hey, guys, you know how much I love Tommy John's underwear, undershirts, and their socks. They are the best. Yet, you know what? We're getting a lot of feedback from Hannity listeners, too. And guess what? Tommy John sent me a few testimonials from real live Sean Hannity Show listeners, so I'm going to share them with you. Dave says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but they have actually changed my life. Mark says, great materials, great fit, a great example of how doing something very basic, very well, can make a surprisingly positive impact on the quality of life. And Gary says, my grumpy stepfather actually thanked me for the gift of Tommy John's. That's a first in the 40 years I've known him. Louise says, my husband is walking, bending, and lifting all day. This is the first pair of underwear that doesn't roll down and ride up. He loves them. Now, you've heard the reviews. What are you waiting for? You have nothing to lose with Tommy John. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. Just go to TommyJohn.com/Hannity. You get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Hannity, 20% off.
All right, Sean Hannity Show, as we continue from Vegas, our toll-free telephone number, you want to join us, 800-941-SEAN. I want to take you back because, and I want to tell you the whole story with the new developments and the meeting that Bill Clinton had with Putin and the fact that Bill Clinton literally wanted to meet with the Russian nuclear agency heads prior to the Uranium One deal. I want to make sure you understand fully that this entire infiltration came directly from Putin and Moscow. They had a goal. The goal was to set out and corner the market on America's uranium so that that gives them obviously a lot more power and control as it begins to come to nuclear weapons. Long before this, this is where the new information is. The FBI in 2009 had the information, had the evidence. They had documents. They had emails. They had financial records that proved bribery, kickbacks, extortion, money laundering, and a well-orchestrated attempt to corner the market of America's uranium assets. They had eyewitnesses. They had an informant that infiltrated the Russian nuclear group that was working for the FBI on behalf of Putin and Moscow and what they were doing. You know, why was all of this happening? It was all happening because Vladimir, the guy that the media, the devil, the media has been telling you he is for the last year, and nobody ever said he was a good person, nor have I ever said anyone should trust this idiot. He had set out to corner America's uranium market. And because of Obama's administration and him and Hillary and Eric Holder and, of course, complicit Bill, guess what? Vladimir succeeded. Vladimir got 20% of America's uranium, and he even got yellow cake that he's exporting out of the United States of America with our assets. And they let it happen. And on the other side of it, millions of dollars funneled to them. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Many thanks to our affiliate here. They were a big part of pulling off this Vegas Strong event last night. We got great videos, including Big and Rich singing God Bless America. We'll air an hour of this, a lot of the highlights on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, because I want the country to see it. It's a really special. It was a very special night last night that so many people that deserve credit for that were able to help put it together. So I want to go back to all the new information we have. I want to explain to you what is, you know, these people on NBC, for example. Oh, I mentioned the Uranium One. It's an old issue. Okay, well, yeah, we've known about it since Peter Schweizer's book. We've known that there's a quid pro quo. What we haven't known are the details. And now John Solomon and Sarah Carter, the details are emerging every day. And they are so damning and so compelling, the fact that the corrupt media in this country show no interest in it after a year worth of, you know, Russia influence paranoia with no facts and no evidence because they hate Trump. And they're ideological, and this doesn't fit their ideological agenda. It tells you everything you need to know about these people. You know, when Bill Clinton is getting ready to collect twice his normal speaking fee in Moscow, and that he is actively in he's supporting the nuclear deal that his wife has to sign off on. He's getting paid the most money he ever gets in a speech. And he's seeking State Department clearance to meet with Russian nuclear energy individuals that are part of the company involved in the Uranium One deal. So when he didn't get the clearance, he just met with Vladimir directly, who's up to his eyeballs in this. And then you have a U.S. consulting firm. They have ties to the Clintons. They lobbied on behalf of Russia's nuclear giant. And, of course, the American lobbying firm, well, they got millions of dollars from a Russian state-run nuclear energy corporation, while at the same time, they're providing pro bono, free services to the Clinton Global Initiative. In other words, the Clinton Foundation. And these payments took place in 2010, 2011. Well, that's when Hillary's Secretary of State, and that's at the time that she helped approve the Uranium One deal and the magnitude of giving up 20% of the foundational material that makes nuclear weapons, America's nuclear foundational material, is beyond anything I've ever heard in my life. This is worse than the Iranian nuclear deal and $150 billion in cash and other currencies handed over to the mullahs in Iran. Now, the president was right to finally weigh in on this, especially after a full year of Russia, which was nothing but a distraction for why Hillary lost, because she was such a god-awful candidate. And this is what we have been telling you now. I said a year ago, this issue is going to blow up. I've known this information is out there. It was only a matter of time. My sources have been telling me for a long time. It's coming. It's coming. You know, I often say I never give up on issues that I'm investigating. And there are other stories that are also coming down the pipe. Tick tock, tick tock. Get ready. More booms on the way. But you have, you know, the first thing you've got to understand is the media in this country are liars. They are dishonest. They are agenda driven. They are rabidly ideological. They don't care about truth anymore. I'm not sure if there's cognitive dissonance in this case. I don't even know if they're aware. They just, because they all reinforced each other, I'm not sure if they actually realize how abusively biased they are. But they have an agenda. They certainly hate me, hate this show, and hate anybody that's a conservative that wants the president to succeed. You know, it's just like this whole story with, you know, Congresswoman Wilson. Oh, let's just assume that everything she said is true. Well, we actually have a real call, and I just feel it's so personal, I don't even want to play it, of the president calling a family and offering condolences. Nothing like what the media says it, what the president did as they race to believe the biggest Trump hater in the country. Although Maxine Waters might be giving Frederica Wilson a run for her money.
When you're on my time, I can reclaim it.
Reclaiming my time.
Hang on.
All right. So the evidence that we have that has been emerging this week is one of corruption and criminal conduct. It is one of the biggest national security scandals that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and maybe even in American history when all is said and done. It's the evidence is now being laid out every day before the media that steadfastly ignores the depth and the truth and the specifics of what's going on. And by the way, that makes them complicit. You know, you've got these reports, John Solomon, Sarah Carter, I go back to them. The FBI knew in 2009, way before the Uranium One deal was approved. They knew evidence in the form of documents, emails, financial records. They had eyewitnesses. They had informants that infiltrated the Russian nuclear company on behalf of the FBI, the Russian nuclear industry officials. They knew what was happening. They knew that this was all being done on behalf of Moscow, Russia, Vladimir Putin. They knew about bribery. They knew about kickbacks. They had the evidence. They knew about money laundering through Latvia and other countries. They knew about extortion. They knew about racketeering that was going on and all sorts of other criminal conduct. And it was all because Vladimir Putin had set his sights on cornering America's uranium market. Now, why? Just ask yourself a simple question. Why would America, especially after all we've been told in the last year, about how evil Russia is and how they want to influence our elections. And we've had testimony that they've influenced, that they've tried to influence past elections, this election, they'll do it in future elections. And how this collusion with Donald Trump, but there's no evidence. And a year's worth of black helicopter theories, conspiracy theories with no evidence. And here you've got the evidence and it's sitting before you. And because this will make them look so bad and so incompetent and so rigidly ideological, they're just trying to like ignore it and taking Hillary's talking points. Oh, this is an old issue. Everything I'm telling you is new. Everything I'm describing is brand new information. And so Vladimir Putin wants the 20% of American uranium. And guess what? He set out to get it. And he was well aware because it was his officials engaged in the bribery and the kickbacks and the money laundering and the extortion. And we've got all the evidence, the documents, the eyewitness testimony, the financial records, the emails, the informant that knew everything that was happening, making payments on behalf of the FBI because crimes are being committed. And sadly, because of the Obama administration, the president, I think himself, Hillary Clinton for sure, Eric Holder definitely, Vladimir Putin got 20% of America's uranium and is now even exporting yellowcake uranium. You may remember the Joe Wilson Valerie Plame issue. And in that particular case, oh, geez, she was never a covert operative. And Niger and yellowcake. Well, yellowcake, you make nuclear bombs. And by the way, what's Russia, Moscow, and Putin doing with the yellowcake uranium that they're exporting out of the United States to Russia? Is it possible they would give it to North Korea? Would they give it to ISIS? Would they give it to radical Islamists? Maybe not them. Would they give it to Iran under certain circumstances if they need the money? And then you got the part of the story where, you know, with the FBI having the eyewitness accounts and Russian nuclear officials funneling millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation while Hillary is serving as Secretary of State and signing off as one of nine individuals, including Eric Holder, on the deal. Eric Holder had to know what was happening. And the Obama administration, you got all, you know, an FBI informant. An FBI informant wanted to tell the country and Congress before the Uranium One deal what was going on. And he was threatened with retribution and lawsuits if he spoke out. We have a right to this information and this evidence that is now emerging. And he has a right to talk. And the Justice Department and Congress needs to lift the non-disclosure immediately. And when that happens, all hell is going to break loose in this country. You will watch this guy's character assassinated. The smearing, the Clintons, you know, besmirchment, the character assassination, the lies, they're going to destroy this guy. But the problem is they've got other evidence. They've got email evidence. They've got record evidence, financial records, eyewitnesses. This is a slam dunk case. It's incontrovertible. Now, the informant wants to talk. He's being represented by Victoria Tunsing. It's a great attorney. I have a funny idea. She's going to win this case. And they have created now, this deal created a clear and present danger to the world and national security. There's no other way to put it. And they did it for personal greed and profit. And the people involved need to be prosecuted. 5 years after this deal was done, the Uranium One deal, New York Times reports that the Russian nuclear company Uranium One was actually exporting yellow cake outside of the country to Canada. This country, they didn't have a license to do it. Yellow cake is extremely dangerous. That's the foundational material that's dangerous that builds nuclear bombs. They allowed Vladimir to export yellow cake during the Obama years, which he did. And by the way, and you can use to make nuclear warheads. And he did it. You know, what he does with it from there, what is he going to do with that yellow cake? And as we've been telling you, the Senate Judiciary has now announced they're launching an investigation. It looks like we're going to get to the bottom of this. And I can only hope so. You know, but by the way, on top of that, you've got the deputy attorney general on top of Eric Holder. Eric Holder was running the Justice Department and the FBI. He had to know. And he signed off on the deal. And he's the one that buried all the evidence. Well, okay, there are other people involved. What about the now deputy attorney general who appointed Mueller, Rod Rosenstein? Well, he was actually overseeing the FBI's operation into this entire Russian bribery scandal. So he clearly was well aware of what took place. Who's going to investigate him? Where's the special counsel to investigate the guy that appointed the special counsel? And then, of course, we've got Robert Mueller up to his eyeballs in this. He was the FBI director. He knows what evidence was out there in 2009 when the Russian bribery, money laundering, national security risks were all taking place. He shouldn't be allowed to lead any probe that relates to Russia on that issue alone. And given his role in this scandal, he should probably be under investigation himself. Somebody wrote me yesterday, you better watch your back, Hannity. Like, okay, I'm going to keep doing what I do. I don't live my life in fear. Never. But the conduct of Rosenstein, Neil McCabe, Robert Mueller, it's inexcusable. How did they, when they're up to their eyeballs in a scandal that gave Vladimir 20% of our uranium, what gives them the right to investigate anything involving Russia when they need to be investigated? They've got to go immediately. Because, frankly, they didn't do their job, and that's corruption. And the media, well, there's just not much to say about the media anymore, is there? Enough said. Fake news, phony, rigid, radical ideologues. They obviously don't care a whole lot about what's going on, you know, in terms of your safety, your security in the country. By the way, Delta was forbidding the singing of the national anthem on a flight as a deceased soldier was being escorted home. Great job, Delta. Gold Star Widow released, I don't want to play it because I think it's too personal, released an audio from Trump's much-appreciated phone call. This woman was so strong. I'd play it, but I think it's a private thing. It was nice of her to do it because she was basically saying the president is extremely empathetic and kind. You know, then the Trump-bashing Democrat accusing, you know, Frederica Wilson. Now she's going after General Kelly, a Gold Star dad himself, who served his country with honor and distinction. And she's bragging, oh, Donald Trump's talking about me. I'm a rock star. I'm a rock star.
You mean to tell me that I have become so important that the White House is following me and my word? This is amazing. It's amazing. That is absolutely phenomenal. I have to tell my kids that I'm a rock star now.
A rock star exploiting the death of a soldier? Oh, over at MSNBC, one of their hosts accused General Kelly of inventing lies to insult women. Wow, this is pretty sick stuff. So Bill Clinton has a secret meeting with Vladimir before Russia poured millions into the Clinton Foundation. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. All right, the power of General Kelly's speech yesterday. We're going to get into that with our military experts. That's all coming up straight ahead. And we have John Rich going to be joining us later. General Tom McInerney, Karen Vaughn, who lost her son, will join us next. That's coming up. And your call straight ahead.
And it is a more serious note. So I just wanted to perhaps make more of a statement than an explanation, give more of an explanation than what amounts to be a traditional press interaction. Most Americans don't know what happens when we lose one of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, or Coast Guardsmen in combat. So let me tell you what happens. Their buddies wrap them up in whatever passes as a shroud, puts them on a helicopter as a routine, and sends them home. Their first stop along the way is when they're packed in ice, typically at the airhead, and then they're flown to usually Europe, where they're then packed in ice again and flown to Dover Air Force Base, where Dover takes care of the remains, embalms them, meticulously dresses them in their uniform with the medals that they've earned, the emblems of their service, and then puts them on another airplane linked up with a casualty officer escort that takes them home. A very, very good movie to watch if you haven't ever seen it is Taking Chance, where this is done in a movie HBO setting. Chance Phelps was killed under my command right next to me, and it's worth seeing that if you've never seen it. So that's the process. While that's happening, a casualty officer typically goes to the home very early in the morning and waits for the first lights to come on. And then he knocks on the door. Typically, the mom and dad will answer, wife. And if there is a wife, this is happening in two different places. If the parents are divorced, three different places. And the casualty officer proceeds to break the heart of a family member and stays with that family until, for a long, long time, even after the internment. So that's what happens. Who are these young men and women? They are the best 1% this country produces. Most of you, as Americans, don't know them. Many of you don't know anyone who knows any one of them. But they are the very best this country produces. So when I gave that explanation to our president 3 days ago, he elected to make phone calls in the case of the four young men who we lost in Niger at the earlier part of this month. But then he said, you know, how do you make these calls? If you're not in the family, if you've never worn the uniform, if you've never been in combat, you can't even imagine how to make that call. But I think he very bravely does make those calls. The call in question that he made yesterday, or day before yesterday now, were to four family members, the four fallen. So he called four people the other day and expressed his condolences in the best way that he could. And he said to me, what do I say? I said to him, sir, there's nothing you can do to lighten the burden on these families. But let me tell you what I tell them. And let me tell you what my best friend, Joe Dunford, told me, because he was my casualty officer. He said, Kel, he was doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was killed. He knew what he was getting into by joining that 1%. He knew what the possibilities were because we're at war. And when he died, in the four cases we're talking about, Niger, my son's case in Afghanistan, when he died, he was surrounded by the best men on this earth, his friends. That's what the president tried to say to four families the other day.
Unbelievably moving and touching reality check from General Kelly, a Gold Star dad who lost his son. By the way, Barack Obama never called him. General Tom McInerney is with us, retired United States Air Force Lieutenant General. He served in top military positions under the Secretary of Defense and the Vice President, and he's also a Gold Star brother. His brother was killed in action in South Vietnam in March of 67, one of 58,000 Americans lost in that war. And his second tour is company commander with the 1st Cavalry Division. Also, Karen Vaughn is back with us. Gold Star mom, her son was a Navy SEAL. Her son, Aaron Vaughn, one of 30 American servicemen, died on board a helicopter. Remember, this was the Extortion 17, call sign Extortion 17 incident when it was shot down in Afghanistan in August of 2011. Many who were killed were members of SEAL Team 6. Yeah, that team that took out Osama bin Laden. And thank you both for being with us. You know, I don't even know. I heard the call. I don't want to play it because I don't know if I know this woman released it today, Karen, of how empathetic President Trump was when her son died. And it was pretty amazing and very touching. It totally contradicts the narrative of Trump hater Congresswoman Frederica Wilson. But the level of vitriol and the attempt to exploit
this for political gain just makes me sick to my stomach. And I actually challenged people in our industry. I said, you know what? We're all kind of overpaid in cable news. And I said, we can all donate $14,000 tax-free. And from what I heard, nobody's taken up my challenge. Nobody. They just want to keep talking. They're talking about it on, you know, fake news, CNN and MSNBC now. That's all they do 24/7 because they want to hurt the president. What's your reaction to all this?
You know, Sean, I'm just literally brokenhearted that this continues to just burn like this. I really felt like General Kelly put this whole matter to rest during that press conference. I literally sat on my couch and cried two times during that speech. And as I'm sure the general there with you, which is wonderful to be in your presence again, even by phone, I'm sure he can appreciate the same thing. The day that you get that call, the day that you get that knock on the door, it marks a point in time where your whole life now is marked by what happened before that morning and what happened after that morning. It's such a pivotal juncture in time. It is such a sacred moment. You know, you spend weeks, Sean, months, just in a daze, trying to reconcile this new world that you're living in. And so for Ms. Wilson to be spinning this up into a political debacle like this, and even now the left attacking what General Kelly said, I mean, it's just so hypocritical. They're mad at our president for being insensitive to a Gold Star mother, but at the same time, they're going to attack a Gold Star father. It's ludicrous. I'm beside myself with what we've become in this nation. It's breaking my heart.
You know, you said something that's so profound. You live your life up until the day, you know, when he told the story of they pack their bodies in ice and they bring them to Dover. And, you know, it's just the details kill you. And then you have people waiting outside your house for the light to go on. And you lived one life, Karen, up until that point. And then from that moment forward, your life is never the same. And I've met you, and you're a strong woman, and you know, you're outspoken, but I know there's a hole in your heart. I know it. You know, I'm friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Sean, yeah, absolutely. There is. There's such a hole. You know, and I do my best to honor Aaron's life and the principles that he believed in and left his father and I kind of in charge of, you know, to forward for him. And you know, I take it very seriously. But yes, there is, at any given day, Sean, I could get on the couch and say, I'm done. And I can't take being out there anymore, because this is a very painful life. And it's very painful to relive his death all the time by, you know, talking about it. But at the same time, I'm honored that I get to talk about it. Never mistake that when I say that. I'm so honored that I get to, you know, speak about him so frequently. It's a real blessing in my life. But yeah, the whole is powerful, and it will always be there. We will never spend another Thanksgiving with him at our table. We'll never have another Christmas where he gets his stocking off the mantle. You know, it'll just hang there as a reminder to all of us that he's gone.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you know, getting to know people like you in my life has put my life in perspective, and I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Because we all think we have problems, and then I meet people like you and know what you've been through, and I'm like, I'm almost embarrassed to think I have problems. And, you know, same when I go see these kids that are injured in Bethesda, Walter Reed, when I visited them, or these people in the hospital in Vegas that I've seen. General McInerney, I never knew about your brother. Sounds like an amazing brother, and I'm sure you never get over it, and you served the rest of your life in the military.
Well, I did, Sean, and by the way, Karen, it's absolutely an honor for me to be on with you and be associated with you, because, as you know, we got very close there for a while when we were trying to work the Extortion 17. But in any case, yeah, I have 50 years now, Sean, in March 11th. And the interesting thing was my older brother flew over the Bong Son plane where Dick was killed that day. That day he flew over in a 105 going into Thailand. And, of course, I went back 3 months later. So there were different circumstances, but the way the Democratic Party, and I associate this with the party, the way they have demeaned one of the most significant and holiest things that General Kelly described and how we honor our dead is just beside the pale. How any political party, Representative Wilson, and then there was one on Brian Fallon, who used to be Hillary Clinton's press guy, came out with these things saying that General Kelly was odious. And we have never seen this, I think, in our history. And the progressives and the left and the Democratic Party just keep taking us further left and further left. And it's a divide that none of us have ever seen. And it's a divide that we do not like what we are seeing, because we have always been able to honor our dead and recognize the sacred traditions, because that's what it is, a sacred tradition that America has had for over 200 years, honoring our fallen heroes. The Democratic Party is sinking to new lows.
I honestly, there's a great story about General Kelly that I think speaks to the character of him, and it's representative of, you know, as he said, only 1% of this country serves. And it's an all-volunteer army. And, you know, it's not like when my father, you know, he signed up for World War II, but he, you know, before he would ever get drafted. But it was a time everybody signed up. And, you know, there's just something amazing about all of them. And 3 days after he lost his son, he was giving a speech and he had one condition: just don't mention my son, because I don't want to elevate him above the 5,500 other kids that died in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, you know, and I know, Karen, it's got to be hard, but I also know you like to honor your son. And I hope when you do talk about him, that for you, it's now the world knows who your son is. What a courageous soul he was. What an amazing human being he was. How he blessed all of us by being on this earth.
Aaron was incredible. And Sean, I just want to hit on one point that you said. What I hate the most about this in general, I'm sure you feel the same way about this, and Sean, I know you do too, is that she took the attention away from these four men who died, and she put it on herself. And she did this. She did this. The president didn't do that by making a phone call out of humility and honor and respect and dedication and love for this young man's service. Ms. Wilson turned the nation's attention to her horrible comments, her disgraceful comments in the wake of such a sacred moment. But yes, Sean, speaking of Aaron, I am so thankful for the life he lived. I'm so thankful for the legacy that he left. He was a man who loved this nation. He loved God, he loved his family, and he loved this country, and he would have died for any of them. And he always told us, if I die young, I pray to God that it's dying. I die fighting for my country. And so I know the sentiment of what President Trump said to this young widow. I know that sentiment. That is exactly how these young men feel. And so, yeah, it's just such a shame that she took this sacred moment and turned it in, the left turned it into such a disgusting black mark in America's history.
Well, you know how much this audience loves and cares about you. We're so proud of you for the strength that you've developed. You give all of us strength. General McInerney, I've always thought the world of you, too. Thank you both for putting a lot of this in perspective. The fact that she was out there bragging, oh, the president talked about me. I got to tell my kids I'm a rock star. I honestly wanted to vomit. It was so disgusting. Anyway, thank you both. You're both in our prayers and the prayers of this audience, and we appreciate you both being with us.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
From Las Vegas, it's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, as we continue, it's the Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, quick call. We've got a minute here. Paul in Alaska. Paul, real quick, what's going on?
I'm one of those type of people that used to be moderate, and I really believe that the way that the lying media has changed everybody's views on things, I'm becoming more of a conservative.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. What changed you?
Well, your show for one, and just the way that they've changed. They lie. They lie every day. It's very shameful to listen and watch what they're doing. I think they were the ones that picked our president because they believed that he was going to lose to Hillary Clinton. That's my firm belief.
I think you're right, and WikiLeaks actually pointed all that out. You're dead on accurate. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. And don't forget, we'll have an update on the release of my movie 1 week from today. John Rich, Big and Rich, and Thomas Gunderson, the guy that stood for the president from Vegas. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Toll-free our telephone numbers. We continue from Vegas. Many thanks to our affiliate out here, AM 720 KDWN. They have made this an incredible week. What a night last night. Vegas strong, a night of healing for everybody. First responders, victims of the Vegas shooting. A lot of money was also raised. We will air this all tonight on Hannity, special hour at 9 Eastern, our usual time, on the Fox News Channel. And it was just, it was an honor to be a part of it. And Big and Rich just tore the place up with their rendition of God Bless America. We'll get to that a little later in the program. We played it earlier. But I just it's just an amazing thing to me as somebody that does talk radio and a television show. Because radio is a warmth medium. You got to connect heart to heart, soul to soul. TV, you can make points without even saying a word. But there's some power in music that impacts and affects all of us. Same with movies. And we'll be talking about 1 week from today, my movie debuts, Let There Be Light. Dionne Warwick is going to join us. Kevin Sorbo, Michael Francis is going to join us. He played the pastor in the film. But there's something about movie and music that touches people deeply. Anyway, excited as we continue in Vegas. The event last night was utterly amazing. As a matter of fact, Big and Rich are going to, well, John Rich is going to join us. Also, Thomas Gunderson, you may remember, he was the young man in bed. The president walks in, he can't stand, and he stood for the president. Although he really did tell me he stood for the first lady, Melania, but that's just our secret. You know, it's all between us. But he showed up. He said, I'll always stand for my country. I'll always stand for my president. And then, of course, you get the vicious, horrible people on you know, social media doing their thing, being mean, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so that's all coming up. Also, we're going to tell you 1 week from today, my movie, Let There Be Light, it's not just mine. I'm the executive producer of it. Is debuting in theaters around the country. We have a special event tonight, though, and we're doing this just for Vegas, after all that Vegas has been through. And we're going to be at the Trinity Life Center at 7:30 tonight. I'll be introducing the movie. And 127 pastors from around the Vegas area are going to be there. And then I'm going out this weekend. Then I'm going to be in Pastor Jeffers Church, First Baptist Dallas, on Sunday, the 9:15 and 10:50 services. And then I'll be in Cleveland on Sunday night at Pastor Scott, Daryl Scott's church, looking at the new Spirit Revival Center. And we're going to talk about the movie there, too. And then we'll have our lead up. But we also have Dionne Warwick did incredible music for this project. I don't know if you know the story about Michael Francis. He was a member of the Colombo crime family. His father was one of their top underbosses in the hierarchy. Anyway, that was the life he grew up in. And all of a sudden, he wants to get out of this life. And lo and behold, he finds himself in jail. His father had put a hit on his own son. And he's in jail and he's in isolation. And one of the prison guards gives him a Bible and it changed his life. In this movie, he plays the pastor. And he does all of these revivals around the country. He's big into apologetics and just a pretty inspiring guy. But the story's contemporary. I think you're going to like it. It's the movie starts out with a lot of the darkness in this world, and there's plenty of it. And it's a reminder of evil that exists. And then we fade into a debate forum. It's like at a college university. And you've got Kevin Sorbo is playing the atheist. He wrote a book called Aborting God, and he's debating a Christian. And the audience is hissing the Christian and embracing, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll that Kevin Sorbo is advocating. Anyway, long story short, he has, you know, he's living just everything is the wrong way. He's drugs, drinking, hot girlfriends, busted up his marriage, left his kids. Anyway, he has a near-death experience. And all those people that are making money, all the handlers around Kevin Sorbo, he gets out of the hospital. He's like, I think I passed to the other side. I had a near-death experience. I think there's something beyond this. And they're like, oh, no, you don't. You don't believe that. There's too much money to be made. And so he goes back out on the road as an atheist selling his book, Aborting God. And then he gets to a point he can't do it anymore. And his conscience is bothering him. And he has a panic attack. And there's so many emotional twists and turns. You will never predict the outcome of this movie.
The only thing I will tell you is 98% of the people that I have screened the movie for have all cried when they saw this movie. Anyway, so we're going to be doing like a 3-week rollout in different cities, but it opens 1 week from today. And if you want to find out if it's in a city near you, just go to Hannity.com. We're adding theaters every day. The demand has gotten very, very high as more and more people. But we even won an award at the Toronto Film Festival, which we were pretty happy about before the movie even came out. So, all right, let's get to our phones. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Let's say hi to Ron. He is in Nebraska. Ron, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Yeah, hi, Sean. Hey, listen, concerning the uranium sale to Russia from the Clintons, I simply want to know, do you really believe that this is the time, or is this it? Is this the time that the Clintons are going to be held accountable to the law? If Jeff Sessions, is Jeff Sessions the one that will get it done? Ever since Whitewater, remember all that? No one has made anything stick. And after watching Sessions last week in the Senate hearings, I don't believe he'll get it done. It just, I don't know, it's scary. It's hard to take. Maybe the new chant should be, where is Jeff Sessions? But, you know, is this it? Is this the time that the Clintons are held accountable to the law?
This is the clearest example of corrupt people that literally, knowingly sold out America's national security, and they benefited financially. My gut, my heart, my instinct says if we don't get justice here, then equal justice under the law does not exist in America. Because anyone, any American that would have committed half of the felonies that Hillary Clinton, we know, have committed. Mishandling classified information, that's a felony. Destroying classified information, that's a felony. Obstructing justice, that would be deleting 33,000 emails that had been subpoenaed, that's obstruction of justice. And in this particular case, everybody knew in 2009 that Vladimir Putin wanted to corner the uranium market in America. They knew it. They had evidence. They had emails. They had undercover FBI agents. They knew about bribery and extortion and kickbacks and money laundering. It was all there, and blackmail. They knew about it all. And the fact is, then they still signed off on giving away 20% of uranium to Vladimir Putin. Now, the media that was telling us for so long now, over a year, Vladimir is the greatest danger. Vladimir is the greatest danger. Their silence on this is deafening. The fact that we can't trust the media anymore, this is a profound moment in terms of our history of this country. They are not trustworthy. They are not honest. They are not truthful. Now, with all that said, my heart tells me that if I'm Hillary Clinton today, if I'm Eric Holder today, if I'm Barack Obama today, I'm worried. And I do believe that things are going to be different. I've got to believe that, or I'd have to say that there's no equal justice under the law in America. So we'll see. You're right. They have gotten away with so many other things. The evidence is so overwhelming, so incontrovertible. I can't even explain the whole, every detail of every issue involving this without spending 25 minutes, because we've done such exhaustive work and research with the help of investigative reporters, Sarah Carter and John Solomon. So I hope that answers your question. But yeah, I agree with you. This is a pivotal moment. So we've been so busy with all these other issues as we continue from Vegas. There is a doctor in Georgia, and she heard that on a plane she was traveling on, Delta, that there was a fallen soldier on the plane. Anyway, she decided to ask her fellow passengers if they could sing the national anthem in honor of this fallen soldier on the very plane that they were on. Anyway, the people on the plane are like, yeah, we'd like to do that. They like to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And all of a sudden, she was told to stay quiet in her seat. And by the way, they watched an honor guard escort the casket from the plane to Hartsfield International Airport. Flight attendant told her singing the Star Spangled Banner would make passengers from other countries uncomfortable. Here's her from an interview earlier today.
I was on a flight from Philadelphia to Atlanta today, and we had a deceased soldier who was also accompanied by his best friend. a man in uniform, and the captain came on and asked if we would all remain seated while the soldier got off the plane first, and while the honor guard took the deceased soldier out of the plane, which was great. I had an idea. It was just one of those spontaneous ideas that it would be so neat when this soldier stood up, and while the honor guard was going off, taking him off, that we should sing the national anthem. And so I went around to each seat and I asked if people felt comfortable doing it, if they would join me. And most people were thrilled out of their minds, and several women cried and said, you know, that's so beautiful. And I had so many people come up to me and say, you know, we should make a habit of this, and this would be great. And, you know, it's a great honor to the boys' parents and wife and perhaps children. Anyway, I went to every seat, and some people said fine, and others didn't want to do it, which was fine. I just said, whatever you feel comfortable doing. And after I sat back down, it was apparent that the plane was starting to descend, and the chief flight attendant came up to my seat, and she kneeled down, and she said, it is against company policy to do what you're doing. I said, the national anthem? And there's a soldier on board? And she said, yes, you cannot sing the national anthem. It is against company policy. And I said, well, I just told every single person on this plane that we were going to do it. Are you going to tell them not to? Because I'm not going around and telling them not to sing. But they did make an announcement that we were to stay quietly in our seats and be very quiet. And she did not tell the rest of the plane that this singing the national anthem for this soldier was against company policy. She told me that several of the people on the plane were from other countries and that they were uncomfortable with us singing the national anthem.
All right, when we come back, we're in Vegas, and we had the big Vegas Strong event last night, Big and Rich headlining Rascal Flatts playing. We're going to talk to my buddy John Rich when we get back, and you'll meet the man that stood for Melania. He didn't stand for the president. Our good friend Tom Gunderson. That's straight ahead. Powerful moment from last night's Vegas Strong concert that we were a small part of, headlined by Big and Rich. Then you had Ron White, the comedian there. You had Rascal Flatts playing an incredible acoustic set. Big and Rich were on their game last night. It was just phenomenal. So while they were playing that, remember, this is 1 hour before, with a crowd of about 30,000 people, the shooting that happened here in Vegas. Remember, they sang that song in unison. I mean, for some parents that lost their kids, they know that an hour before their child died, this is the experience that child had. And that video went so viral. So during the singing of this last night, I actually stood in front of the stage, and I stood up on like this chair, and I think I got the best video I've ever taken in my life, because I'm not the best video taker. And we posted it all on Hannity.com. I'm going to air it on TV. All of this will air on TV tonight in my usual slot. We're going to have Vegas Strong, A Night of Healing, and all the highlights from last night are going to be played tonight, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. And I know the people in Vegas did, and I know from what I've heard, a ton of money was raised for the families, the victims, for some of their medical costs, and first responders, others that were injured. It was just an incredible, amazing night. And one of the more important reasons that happened is because Big and Rich came back in town, and they played for this crowd at the packed Orleans Arena last night. And John Rich joins us, as well as Thomas Gunderson. You may remember that he was shot in the leg, and when President Trump came to the hospital, he wasn't able to stand, but he stood up for the president, and then he posted on Facebook, "I'll always stand for my president." Then we find out that he really stood for Melania. He didn't stand for the president. He told me privately. Guys, welcome to the show. That was a great show last night, John. Unbelievable. And then I never knew you owned a bar in Vegas called the Redneck Riviera. Then you guys played another 2 hours. You kept me out to like 3 a.m. And I have half a voice today, but I had the most fun I've had,
John,
in a long time.
John, you kept me out till 3 o'clock in the morning. Come on.
But I watch you guys perform, and there's such a passion in what you do. I saw people crying last night when you're singing the 8th of November. We're going to show that. Definitely it's going to be on the show tonight. I actually filmed that, too. That's got to be an incredible experience for you night in and night out.
Well, Sean, I mean, we are fire-breathing Americans, you know, and when we take the stage, we feel so blessed to be able to do that, you know, with our lives, to make music. And you know, music is a big unifier. You know, it doesn't matter. You saw this last night. It doesn't matter your politics or where you're from or anything else. When you play those songs and everybody, like the 8th of November, or you sing God Bless America, or even crazy songs like Save Horse Ride a Cowboy, you'll see all these people jumping in and this energy like you saw last night, man, it's just over the top. And I think that is, it's really the comment that I would love America to focus on is seeing their fellow Americans standing there together with their iPhones in the air, those lights are shining up, and they're singing at the top of their lungs with every ounce of patriotism and passion that they have. That, to me, is really what America's all about. And it's just an honor every time we step on the stage and are able to lead those songs.
I'd be honest, there was an energy last night in that arena that I imagine was just a cut above. When I walked out in the crowd a couple of times and I met people, I actually met the guy that we hear on the audio tape when the dispatch, when he says, "All right, on the 32nd floor, gonna breach, the first guy in I met last night. A woman came up to me, and so many women came up to me and telling me the stories about how their husbands were heroes that nobody knows about. And, you know, you're right. The shooter didn't care if they're Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. He just wanted to kill Americans. He didn't care who he was killing. And, you know, that's evil in our time. And, you know, one of the victims is with us here, Thomas Gunderson. I mean, you're going to be in rehab for how long, Thomas, for your leg?
Probably a couple more months, maybe even a few more months. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you looked pretty good last night, and I think I think your girlfriend is way out of your league, I'm just saying. And even your mom and dad told me they thought so.
Oh, she is. I got lucky.
Nah, you guys are a great couple. I was having fun with y'all last night. You know,
yeah, it was a good time.
And it's funny because this wasn't supposed to be political. It became political because that's what everybody, I guess, does. And the president walked in your room, and you made a point to stand. And then you wrote why you stood. Tell us.
Absolutely. Honestly, it has nothing to do with who our president is, but just that it, in fact, is the president. You know, it's respect for my country. It's the country that is giving me everything that I have, and feel that, you know, I owe everything back to this country. And I feel like everybody should feel that way. You know, there's a lot worse places to live. I truly believe this is the greatest place in the world. And you know, I've been given every opportunity because of where I live, and I will always stand for my country, my anthem, my flag, and, you know, especially the president of the United States. That's literally the highest held position in our country. So you better believe, no matter what kind of pain I'm in, I'm standing up and shaking that man or woman's hand.
It's a pretty inspiring moment, but then you told me privately you really just stood for Melania. Don't lie.
Oh, absolutely. I could have been shot through both legs. I would have found a way to stand for her.
All right. That's the American spirit. You know, John Rich and I, so last night, John and Big Kenny and I and a bunch of other guys were sitting around in his bus before the show, and we're talking about communication. And I said, John, I do radio 3 hours a day, and it's a warmth medium. You got to connect heart to heart, soul to soul on radio. And people will figure out in 10 seconds if you're a phony, because you can't fake it 3 hours a day, 5 days a week in radio. And the same thing on TV, although you can make a lot of points without saying a lot of words. I could just roll my eyes and people know what I'm thinking. But
I've always believed that the most powerful form of communication is music. And this is what you do so well, John. When what made you want to follow this crazy career that you're on?
Well, you know, I grew up out in Texas. My dad is a non-denominational Bible-banging preacher. And he played guitar in church, and I watched my dad, you know, be able to get up and lead people and sing to people and impact people. And, you know, if you got a great dad like that, every son wants to be like their dad. And so I picked up the guitar at an early age and really never thought I would have a shot at making music for a living. I mean, it's never really entered my mind. I just did it because my dad did it, and it was, you know, it's like you said, it's a soulful experience to be able to pick up an instrument and sing something to somebody. But man, you know, I'll echo the sentiments of the gentleman on the phone, which we had a chance to meet last night. We live in a place, you know, we woke up this morning and our eyes opened and we are living in America, and we live in the only place in the world that literally has no limits to what we're allowed to go for and achieve. And we can dream as big as we want and work as hard as we want to go after those dreams. And that's what I did with music. You know, if you think about our Constitution, Sean, it never promises you happiness. I think that's a big misconception with a lot of people, that you're promised happiness. No, you're not. You're not promised happiness.
Oh, a declaration says the pursuit of happiness.
You're promised a pursuit of it. And the pursuit of happiness is what gets me up every day and charges me up. And when I'm able to grab that guitar and walk out on stage like we did here in Las Vegas for Vegas Strong and sing to those people and see them singing back, you saw it. That is a connection that nobody can ever break that. And only in America can you accomplish something like that.
It's just an amazing. I urge everybody, until I'm back on the air, you're going to see it tonight on Hannity. And we have all the highlights. I made sure we put in God Bless America, the 8th of November, and I put in Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, because that shows
there you
shows
go.
The, there you go,
rock,
right?
Man.
You got it.
Yeah.
And we put and then you guys went over to your bar and you played another 2 hours and the crowd was going nuts. I mean, it was just a fun, amazing night. And Thomas, how fun was that? You got to bring your parents there, and I had a blast last night just meeting everybody. Everybody was, they were back to celebrating freedom and fun. That's what I felt last night was.
It honestly was the best time of my life. I'm not kidding. It's so fun to meet, you know, people like John and Big Kenny. You know, we look up to them so much, you know, and at the end of the day, they are normal people just like us, but you know, they're our idols, you know, in country music, and being able to sit with them and talk to John for a little while and hang out with him. It honestly meant the world to me and to my girlfriend, you know, going through what we have lately. Just amazing people, you know, so gracious and so kind to us. It was really cool.
So one kind of cool moment last night is the president heard about the concert, John, and he's a big fan of yours. And he tweeted out that you all were playing last night with the words Vegas Strong. How cool was that for you?
Man, what else can you ask for? You know, I mean, when the president of the United States recognizes what you're doing here in Las Vegas, I thought it was a huge gesture from him. Pardon me, Sean, we stayed up late. A huge gesture from him.
I've been struggling for 3 hours. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Some more coffee. No, but he tweeted and he had hashtag Vegas Strong. And, you know, what that hashtag Vegas Strong is, the police commissioner here in the city of Las Vegas set up a GoFundMe account under Vegas Strong, and I think it's up over like $12 million. And there's a lot of people out here, you know, that wound up in the hospital. They're trying to pay deductibles on their insurance. Some people don't have insurance. I mean, it's just a lot going on. And for him to be able to tweet that and alert that many people to what's going on and give them a chance to donate to that was really a huge thing. And we're very grateful he did it.
You know, I went to the hospital. This is the day that I met Thomas and your parents are wonderful. I got a kick out of your mom and dad. I think they're great people. And a tribute to the man you've become, Thomas. Anyway, and I went there, and everybody, it was the day after the president had been there, the hospital staff, the administrators, the doctors, the surgeons, all the people that saved all those lives, I mean, they were blown away that the president, you know, took the time and stayed there much longer than he had ever planned and wanted to meet everybody. So
Anyway, listen, I want to thank you all. John, what you did and you and Big Kenny to pull this all together was amazing. All the people from Beasley Radio, all the people from Cox, all the people from, you know, Rascal Flatts, Fox News, to pull this off in a week like you did was pretty amazing. And I just want to say thank you for what you've done for this great city to help them heal. It was a special night. It's all going to air tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News channel. And, John, hopefully I'll see you at the Redneck Riviera tonight.
Absolutely. I'll be down there again tonight. And just all you folks out there listening to Sean's show, watch it tonight. And if you feel inclined to do so, you should make a donation towards that. Some of the greatest Americans that we have are in Vegas and are struggling with a lot of this. So, you know, all the support we can get is much appreciated.
All right, guys. Good to talk to you both. We appreciate it. All right, 800-941-SEAN. As we continue from Vegas, we're 1 week away from the release of Let There Be Light, the first movie I'm an executive producer of. That's next.
She's looking good, looking fine. She's looking for a good time.
Firing torpedoes of truth at a wall of lies. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Great moments last night. It was one of my favorite songs by Big and Rich, the 8th of November. Let's just play some of this here now.
On November 8th, 1965, in War Zone D in Vietnam. And on November 8th, 1965, 30 Americans were overrun by over 1,200 Viet Cong. They killed all of our boys that day, except for our buddy Niles and two others. They shot him up so bad that he came back to the States and he spent 2 years at Walter Reed Medical Center getting over his injuries. But would you like to know what he did when he finally walked out of Walter Reed? This is called the 8th of November. I said 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, well, we're 1 week away from the release of my movie, Let There Be Light. Dionne Warwick did the music. She'll join us. Michael Francis, he's the pastor in the movie. Kevin Sorbo stars in the movie. They're all coming up next as we continue from Vegas. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, right down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN. So we're in Vegas. Obviously, we had the big show last night and honoring the first responders, the families, the victims, and it was an amazing, amazing night. We're staying in Vegas tonight because we have another incredible event that I'm going to be a part of. So 1 week from today, we are going to open with my first movie that I'm the executive producer of, and it's called Let There Be Light. And so we decided to do something special here while we were in Vegas, and we invited 127 pastors, different denominations. It's faith-based, but it doesn't hit you over the head with religion. Hollywood is so formulaic. It's the same actors. It's the same formula. It's Batman. It's Superman. And so often the values of Christians and the values of conservatives are just outright dismissed by Hollywood. And we've seen a lot about Hollywood values in the last number of days. So we decided, and we got together with a lot of great people, that we were going to present to the city of Vegas an early showing of the movie. And that's going to take place tonight. We have all the pastors. I think it's sold out, unfortunately. And right here in Vegas. And we're all going to get together and we're going to show it to people. By the way, it's a free screening. And Kevin Sorbo, Sam Sorbo, star in the movie. Kevin Sorbo is going to join us in a minute. As we started this project, step by step, incredible people joined us in the process. And one of the more exciting moments is when Dionne Warwick, who's just one of the most renowned singers, entertainers, and performers that I've known my whole life growing up and all her music, she decided to do the soundtrack for our movie, which we're really excited about. And the pastor in the movie is a guy by the name of Michael Francis, and his real-life story I always knew. He grew up the son of a notorious underboss in New York under the Colombo crime family. He had a hit out on him. He went to prison. And while in solitary, because he had to be in solitary or else he probably would have been whacked, he got a Bible from one of the guards at the prison. And it changed his life. And he became a real-life pastor. And he plays a pastor in the movie. And I've been telling you little bits and pieces about the story, but it's very contemporary. You have Kevin Sorbo playing a glitterati, paparazzi, very popular L.A., New York type of guy with a young model, abandoned his family. He wrote a book, Aborting God. The movie starts out with some of the evil that we all deal with every day in the world. And then beyond that evil, it's a personal story and a personal journey. So as he writes this book, Aborting God, he's debating a Christian. And the crowd is just eating him up and not liking the Christian message. And then we find out, well, why is he an atheist? Why did he abort God? And there's more twists and turns and emotional twists and turns in this movie than I think you could ever, you know, imagine. I'm very proud of it. Now, before we get to Dionne Warwick and Michael Francis and Kevin Sorbo, I want to play you Dionne Warwick's incredible work for this movie and the soundtrack of this movie, Let There Be Light. Remember, it opens October 27th, 1 week from today. And to get a list of theaters, all you have to do is go to Hannity.com. Dionne Warwick, renowned entertainer, performer of all time, joins us right now. Michael Francis is with us. He plays the pastor in the movie, Let There Be Light. Kevin Sorbo is the main star in the movie, and he's the horrible person that makes a transformation. Welcome all of you to the program. Dionne Warwick, I've been a fan of yours since I was young. Your voice is amazing. You being in this project has added so much to it, and I can't tell you how beautiful that song is. That's amazing. Could you tell us about the song?
Yeah. How are you, first of all?
I'm good, except my voice is a little shot from screaming last night at this Vegas Strong concert.
Anyway, well, the song, which I'm very, very proud of, written by my son, Damon Elliott. And his vision was to literally let people know that there is a solution. And as it turns out, he called me and says, Mommy, I need your voice. I said, okay. And I did. I did my part on it. But he also recruited some most incredible talents to participate as well. You'll hear Gladys Knight, who is just over the moon as far as I'm concerned with what she gave to the project. A young lady named Maya, Billy Ray Cyrus. I mean, he just went all out to get people who had same mindset with regards to what the film was about and his vision as to what he thought the song represented. So I could not be prouder of being a part of this project and more proud of the fact that my baby was the one who came up with the idea.
Well, he has a beautiful heart. Obviously, if he put that together, I mean, the words in that song really touch people. Mm-hmm. Kevin, let me go to you. I never thought I'd really be in the music business. And I remember watching your hit movie, God's Not Dead. And I remember interviewing you at the time. And I said, you know, if there's ever a project, maybe we can do one together. And you and Sam, your wife, and Dan Gordon came to my office one day. I don't think we talked more than 15, 20 minutes.
and you told me the whole story of Let There Be Light, and I just fell in love with the story. And we've just been working on the project ever since. I mean, it's an amazing, the end product, it's one of the things I'm most proud of in my entire career, because I think this is a movie that needed to be made. It's contemporary. It touches people's hearts. It's everything that I think Hollywood doesn't do. It's about real issues, real life crisis and conflict that people have. And it also offers a good message for people that I think is often ignored out of Hollywood. So, you know, I was only too honored to join with you to do it. And from your end, you guys did a fabulous job.
Well, thank you. And it is interesting how the whole thing came together, because, you know, my wife, Sam, came up with the idea. She started writing the script. She brought in Dan Gordon, who's a dear friend. And people may know Dan or may not know him, but he's one of the top writers in Hollywood. He wrote The Hurricane with Denzel Washington, he wrote Wide Earp with Kevin Costner. But anyway, Sam and him got together, finished the script. I read the script. 3 days later, you called me and said, hey, I'm ready to do this. I'm going to do something. Do you guys have anything? And my wife says, that's my script. We flew out to New York. Dan Gordon did the pitching. And in that 20 minutes that Dan talked, you didn't interrupt them once. I thought we should have done the documentary on that, because I thought that was pretty amazing. you were spellbound by the script and the story that he had to tell.
Listen, I've learned that there's some of the movie business I don't like, the business part of it, but what you guys have created, the artistic part of it. You know, I have now shown this to over 200 people. I've done my own focus groups, and you actually have up on your website, you know, some testimonials of some airings that we've had, focus groups with people, and it's unbelievable. 98% of people that see this movie cry. And you start out as a very conflicted individual that hates God, aborting God. And then we find out the reason why. And you're living a life that really you shouldn't be living. And you left your family and you're drinking too much and you're doing drugs. And we find out the reason you wrote Aborting God. And you had lost a son at 9 years old. And the transformation is amazing. Part of that transformation comes when you meet with Michael Francis, who has one of the most incredible life stories of anybody, because he is a real life pastor. Michael, welcome to the program. And you grew up the son of a notorious underboss in the Colombo crime family, and your own father at one point in your life signed off on a hit on you, and you found yourself in isolation in prison, and your life changed.
Yeah, Sean, it's good to be back on again. I just want to mention really something real quick. Dionne Warwick, she doesn't remember, I'm sure, but she played at my prom. My dad actually brought me to the Copacabana that night in 69,
really?
And we all had a great time. Yeah, yeah, it was way back.
As long as she had a good time, that's all that matters.
It was great. It was terrific. But yeah, Sean, I was very attracted to the script. I'm really into apologetics. I love Kevin. And I'll be honest with you, I never acted before. They had to twist my arm to do it, because I've been myself in documentaries. But I said, listen, I'll do it as long as I don't ruin the film. You know, I was playing myself, so it was pretty easy, and a great cast and great crew. And I think it's a wonderful story. I think people are really going to be touched by it. Very entertaining. Very well.
But you're also a pastor in real life. Now, how long have you been a pastor?
Well, no, I'm not a pastor, Sean. I go out, you know, throughout the world and share my testimony. So, I mean, I'm not ordained or anything like that.
Okay.
Which I think, you know, it could be a benefit, because, you know, I tell people I'm just you. You know, we all have a story to tell. Mine might be a little bit more dramatic, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a story about Christ's mercy and grace in my life. And there's no doubt in my mind that he saved my life. He put a woman in my life that led me to Christ. And over the past 20 years, had so many challenges and struggles, but he got me through all of it. And, you know, I'm just happy to tell the story whenever I can.
You know, Kevin, one of the other reasons I wanted to be a part of the project, besides the great story, and once we agreed to do the film, once I took on my executive producer role, I'm a big believer you let people do their job. And, you know, you told me where you're going to be filming. You told me what the schedule you're going to be on. We went over the script. We did everything that we're supposed to do. And then when I started getting the first pictures and first cuts, I began to say, this is something magical happening here. And I don't know if you've had the same experience, but everybody I've shown the film to, they all cry, and it touches people deeply. That doesn't happen enough when I go to the movies. I like to be moved and touched. And inspired and so on and so forth.
Well, this is a movie about redemption. It's a movie about faith. It's a movie about hope. And, you know, we've been doing quite a few screenings and getting testimonials. We were just in Washington, D.C. last week.
at the Value Voter Summit there, and it was amazing, the responses from people coming out. Sam was doing the testimonials on camera. I was talking to people, answering questions, and answering anything they had to say. But there was a group of teenagers that walked out, and they're about 15, 16 years old. And one of the boys in that group, I overheard him say, "That is the best movie I've ever seen." And to get that from a teenage kid, where all they want to do is go see visual effects movies, that you don't care about character development, you don't care about what happens to people, you see thousands of people die in these smash-em-up movies. This is a movie that is real life, and it's going to touch people. There's something for everybody in this movie. They'll be able to relate to it. They'll be able to take something from it. And I don't want to preach to the choir with this movie. You know, I want atheists to go. I want agnostics to go. I want people to get up there and look at this movie with an open mind and open heart and come away with what they come away with, because I know it's going to touch them.
I just got to tell you, it's been an honor to do this project with you. It opens 1 week from today. We have a special airing of it at Trinity Life Center. Then I'm going to be out on the road this weekend. I'm going to be in Dallas for two church services with Dr. Robert Jeffers at his church, and I'm excited about that. Then we're going to go see my buddy Daryl Scott, who is in Cleveland. But anyway, letterebelightmovie.com and also Hannity.com for theaters. Dionne Warwick, I've always loved your work. God bless you. Thank you. And your son did an amazing job. Michael, it's great to talk to you again. And Kevin, we'll have you on TV next week. We look forward to that, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, John. Thank you.
All right, guys. Let There Be Light debuts 1 week from today. Special airing tonight at the Trinity Life Center. All right, we're wrapping things up from Vegas. Now, for those of you in the Dallas area, looking forward to seeing you at Robert Jeffers Church. That's coming up this weekend. There are two services, one at 9 o'clock, one at 10:30. And then we're going to go to Pastor Daryl Scott's church, which is in Cleveland, at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. And 1 week from today, we launch Let There Be Light. So hopefully you can find a theater near you on Hannity.com. Tonight, you will see the incredible tribute to first responders and victims in Vegas, the Vegas Strong event on Hannity, a special edition, 9 Eastern. Have a great weekend. We'll see some of you in Dallas, some of you in Cleveland, back here Monday, and I hope you have a great weekend.